The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Stockhead Rock Yarn. Today we're delighted to have again back with us the Australian Vanadium Limited, but this time we're talking to Todd Richardson, who's the Chief Operating Officer of the company, and Todd is really going to run us through the latest updates on thinking about the vanadium project that the company is looking to develop and is working on a feasibility study. So welcome to the podcast, Todd.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Todd, I just wondered if we could first start off, you could tell the listener a little bit about your career path that has brought you to this position with Australian Vanadium Limited.
Sure. Yeah. My career starts in vanadium, I guess, in 1997. So I've been around the vanadium industry for a long time. I started off as a process engineer in a plant in the U.S. and eventually moved to a plant superintendent and then a plant manager there, and then had the opportunity to come in 2013 to Windamura here in WA and work there for several years, and then returned to the U.S. for a little while. While I was here, I had the opportunity to meet with Vince and understand the AVL project at that time, and so I was glad to come here and join as part of the team to help. Eventually, I came originally to help as part of the pre-feasibility study, and then now we're working on a definitive feasibility study.
Fantastic. So, yeah, we've had Vincent talking about the Windamura Vanadium Project, which is, it could be seen as being a vanadium project or a titanium project or even a magnetite iron ore project, depending on the prices for various commodities. So there's lots of various value adds that can be added to this project down the track.
Yeah, Australia vanadium, that's correct. So we extract vanadium from a magnetite ore. It's a titanomagnetite, so it's high in titanium and vanadium as well as iron. And we produce a concentrate from that. About 900,000 tons a year is our projection, and we extract the vanadium from that. But what's left is a titanium, an iron-rich titanium concentrate, which is... which does have a certain value in itself.
Yeah, so even the sort of inverted commas waste product from the vanadium extraction can be a valuable product down the track.
Yeah, we think of it as a byproduct, not a waste product. So
yeah, absolutely, a co-product. Yeah. So Todd, can you tell us where the feasibility study is at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Right now we're doing a PFS update, which is due out in December of this year. Which will, a lot of changes have taken place since the project, since we did our pre-feasibility study at the end of 2018. We changed some significant portions of the process, and we've also relocated the processing plant from the Meekatharra area close to Geraldton, close to Mullewa. So we decided at that point that it was a good idea for us to just review the entire PFS and update that based on the new changes. Once that's complete, we'll roll right into a bankable feasibility study beginning in January, which is anticipated to be complete mid-year of 2021.
So what was the driving force for the relocation, Todd? Was that access to labor and power?
Yeah, there's quite a few advantages really for us to relocate the refinery or the processing plant close to Geraldton. One factor is definitely that you don't have to worry so much about FIFO, and obviously that comes with a lot of, you know, its own unique challenges, I would say. But the real driving force is the gas. So it's a very gas intensive process. And in order to do it in Meekatharra, it would require, you know, running a pipeline 180 kilometers. And we just saw that as a risk that we didn't want to put into our project. So we decided to look at other options in it, and we found some good land there that's close to the Dampier to Bunbury pipeline, which really reduces our gas costs significantly.
And what would be the end product of the project as it's currently configured with your pre-feasibility work?
Yeah, so we're going to produce 22.5 million pounds of V2O5. It's sold on a per pound basis, so it's typically quoted that way. And about 900,000 tons of this byproduct material that we just mentioned, this high titanium iron ore, which is also very marketable. So we're doing a lot of work with our partners in China and in the U.S., identifying markets for that material as well. The vanadium, 22.5 million pounds, just to give you an idea, is about 6% of the total vanadium produced in the world on a yearly basis.
Yeah, and your market for that would be, steel mills globally?
Yeah, that's right. 90% of the world's vanadium goes into steel production, although there are some significant markets and developing markets like the vanadium redox flow battery, which we strongly believe in. You know, that's why we've got a subsidiary, VSUN, here in WA that sells vanadium redox flow batteries and is developing the market for us here in Australia.
Certainly, the time for batteries of all sorts has certainly come. We've seen these huge lithium ion batteries. VSUN and others around the world are building VRB, vanadium redox batteries, and we've got zinc bromide flow batteries as well coming in at all sizes. So I'm sure there's a market for all of those products going forward to use weather dependent power generation, sun and wind, and store that to be used when the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing. So yeah, I think that's going to be a massive market for vanadium going forward. So what else? I believe there's some a way of using or extracting hydrogen as part of the project going forward.
Yeah, look, we're excited about the government's approach to hydrogen. We think that it's going to be beneficial to the economy here in WA, especially, and could be beneficial to our project as well. So we're very open-minded about uses of hydrogen and how we can take advantage of that. I think it really ties into our project two different ways. One is because we are such a energy intensive process, the roasting process is very energy intensive and requires a lot of gas. One of the ways that it would tie in for us is to use green hydrogen to supplement some of that gas usage, which would lower our carbon footprint and would allow us to use renewables, for instance. That's one way we see that it could tie in. So we're investigating that. And the other thing, in fact, it's been done. There's several investigations going on in Scotland with Wood. Wood Group is one of the engineering firms that we're using, and they've looked at exactly this, you know, supplementing 5 to 10% of gas usage in other facilities with hydrogen as a fuel source. So that's one thing that we're pretty excited about.
Yeah, so you would be able to electrolyze water and produce hydrogen, which you could then supplement against the gas, which would otherwise be used. You know, if you could get the cost of production of hydrogen down, then that would be a useful sort of green addition to the energy use for the project. Is that the way you're currently working?
Yeah, that's right. And or we could not necessarily produce it ourselves. You know, maybe we could purchase it from some of the other producers that are anticipating to set up plants in the near future in WA, for instance.
Yeah, there's a pilot plant already considered up along the coast there, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. And we've had some discussions about that internally, and we think that, you know, if there is hydrogen available, we could definitely make use of it. The other thing that's really interesting for us is transportation. Because we've moved the location of our processing plant close to Geraldton, we've got about 360 kilometers between Meekatharra and Geraldton where we have to ship our concentrate. And as such, we think that hydrogen might be a good solution for us for transportation purposes.
As a fuel.
Yeah, as a fuel for the trucking, yes. If you look at 900,000 tons a year, it's hard to understand how much that actually is. But for us, that would be a quad every hour on the road between Micathera and Geraldton. So there's big opportunities. So a big part of our cost structure is going to be just diesel from logistics costs. So we see that as a good opportunity for us to really innovate in that space.
Yeah, so we've seen around Perth over the last couple of years our trials with buses using hydrogen through ceramic fuel cells to produce electricity. So the buses are electric buses, but they're fueled with hydrogen, and that would be a way for fueling trucks on the highway from Mika to Geraldton as well, potentially. So Todd, there's also been big development over the last week with AVL, with Cliff Lawrence agreeing to join the company next month as the non-executive chair. Cliff, I've known Cliff for a number of years, and he's had a long experience on both sides of the fence as a investment banker and a mining guy, and he certainly ran Atlas Iron, produced a pretty good outcome there in difficult times for that company. So I think that's going to be interesting to have him in the driving seat as a non-executive chair of the company.
Yeah, we're very excited to have Cliff join us. We've been working with him for several months on a consulting basis, and we do think it's going to be a great addition to the team. You know, Cliff also worked with another member of our board, Daniel Harris, on the Atlas board. Together, so definitely a welcome addition to the board, and we're very excited about it.
Yeah. So, has there been any change to the resource and reserve? I see I've got a reserve number, a high grade number of 88 million tons, grading just over 1% vanadium pentoxide. Is that the current target for the operation in the early days?
Yeah, that's right. So we, after our pre-feasibility study at the end of 2018, we went back and we did some more drilling and increased the resource to 87 million. Now, that gives us about 23 or 24 years life. We're obviously working on that now in the PFS, but it's significantly increased the amount of life for the project. So for the PFS, we were at 17 years, producing 22.5 million pounds per year. But now it's looking, you know, it's 20% more than that. So,
has the vanadium market reacted in any way to the current shortage of iron ore? Or, I mean, a lot of vanadium comes out of South Africa. What's happened in the market there overall?
The price for vanadium is still a bit low. It's lower than we'd like to see it. Part of that is driven by the steel consumption in Europe and North America in particular. China seems to be running above COVID levels steel production at the moment, and I think between that and the problems in Brazil with the iron ore issues that they're having over there with Vale, I think that's probably what's driven the iron ore prices up. Although we haven't seen vanadium follow that trend as of yet. But I think that it's just a matter of time when the U.S. and the U.K. And Europe kicks back in after COVID that we'll see that price increase some. There's been a bit of arbitrage in the price. It's interesting. China is it's about $2 a pound more than it is in Europe right now, just because there's just not much demand in Europe for steel.
Yeah, well, and vanadium's used in structural steels, you know, bridges and, you know, I suppose large building construction and bridges and that sort of thing. So that's, I guess, where the steel is being used in China, and railways and so forth.
Yeah, and reinforcing bar, rebar and structural steels. Yeah, that's the primary use for vanadium, you're right. And so we see with these infrastructure projects that are bound to come in the U.S. With COVID, you know, I think once those things kick off, I think we'll see a price rebound. And the good thing is we'll be ready with a fully funded project and ready to go forward and be the next producers. That's our target.
Yeah, so I think that's when it's certainly going to be handy to have Cliff Lawrence in the chair, because he'll have a lot of contacts to be able to help with the financing at that stage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of the reason why we brought Cliff on is because, you know, we are moving into a different phase. We're moving from the engineering phase really into the financing phase. And Cliff is, if nothing else, Cliff is a specialist in getting companies into that realm.
Yeah, and over that hurdle. Yeah, indeed. Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks, Todd, for coming in today and talking to us here at Stockhead. And we like the renewable energy sides of the business, and we like the fact that vanadium, you know, can be used in the as part of the whole renewable or rebuildable energy cycle. So I think if you can get some hydrogen in the front end to cut those greenhouse gases in the process, that would be excellent. So we will watch very closely, and I'd look forward to getting you or Vincent back in early in the new year as the feasibility study progresses. So thanks once again for coming into our Rock Yarn at Stockhead.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.